It's time to talk UK sports with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. This is the Leach Report Radio Network. Join in the discussion by tweeting your questions to @LeachReport or email leachreport@gmail.com. And you can call 877-904-1080. Now, along with an outstanding lineup of guests and broadcast to the most passionate fan base in America, the Big Blue Nation, here's the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach.
Good morning, everybody. Shannon or somebody, you all need to make like an intro where Tom's out today, and you're all going to be disappointed by the next voice you hear. Because it's not the voice of the Cats. I'm Curtis Birch in tonight. Oh, or in today. It was a long night last night. We'll get to that in a bit because UK baseball fell, and I was producing that game. There was a rain delay. I was up super late. I might be a little bit loopy today. But that's about par for the course with me. Best way to interact with the show today is to shoot me a tweet at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. Here's today's guest lineup presented by Sleep Outfitters. We're going to talk to J.P. Shadrick of the Jaguars Network about Josh Allen and Bunchy Stallings, get some updates on how they're doing in the rookie minicamps, what they look like in their professional deal. And then we're going to talk to my buddy John Hale of the Courier-Journal, who is currently up in Chicago at the NBA Combine. He got a chance to talk to Keldon Johnson yesterday. We'll hear what Mr. Johnson had to say. And then even a little bit more interesting going forward, he got a chance to talk to Jalen McDaniels. That's Jalen with an L in there, not Jaden. Jalen is the older brother of Jaden, who is currently being recruited by Kentucky for the 2019 class. And Jalen had some comments, so we'll talk to John about that as well. Here's today's Wildcat News of the Day, presented by Cardinal Point Financial Group, a private wealth advisory of Ameriprise Financial Services. Speaking of Jaden McDaniels, the old recruiting on social media is going down just like you would expect it. Apparently, I saw Instagram was down for a little bit yesterday. You couldn't upload pictures and stuff, so there was like a mini freak out. But some way, somehow, both Dante Allen and Tyrese Maxey got a hold of an edit. And if you're unfamiliar, you've probably seen them. You just don't know exactly what they are. Those edits that guys do for players that are considering two schools, and they put them in each uniform, and sometimes they have a cool little gif or video where the uniform like switches out. And one was done for Jaden McDaniels, and it had him in a Washington jersey and then in a Kentucky jersey. Both Dante Allen and Tyrese Maxey, UK signees, took the little picture of McDaniels in the Kentucky jersey and was like, "Hey buddy, you look really good in blue and white. You should come and join our class." So that's something that's happening. Obviously, those guys want McDaniels on their team as well. Also, there was some news from the NBA Draft Combine, which we'll talk about with John Hale. You can find all the links to those stories on the Bud Light Leach Report page at Tom Leach. KY. I do want to take a minute just to kind of, if you guys missed what happened last night in that baseball game, honestly, it was complete chaos for a lot of reasons. Anytime there is a rain delay, it can get not fun for someone who's producing it. And basically, it was a wild game. This is how it went. Sometimes you hear basketball games are a game of runs. This baseball game was a game of runs. Vandy scored 9 straight runs. Kentucky answered with 10 of their own. Then there was a rain delay, a long one. And then Vandy came back and scored 7 more. So Vandy ends up winning pretty comfortably. Vandy scored 5 runs in the first and in the 9th inning. So if it hadn't been for those two innings, 2 through 7, UK baseball dominated. Obviously, huge, huge series for UK baseball. If they can get a win, they basically almost guarantee themselves a spot in the SEC tournament. So that's a big one. We'll be having those games on WLAP. I'll be producing the one tonight as well. Hopefully that one doesn't go as long. Coming up next, we will be talking to J.P. Shadrick of Jaguars.com about Josh Allen and Bunchy Stallings. I'm Curtis Birch in for Tom today. You can shoot me a tweet at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. You're listening to The Leach Report.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back in. Curtis Birch in for Tom today. Find me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. You can hear me weeknights on WLAP 6 to 8 p.m. on Big Blue Insider. Sunday mornings 9 to noon on Sunday Morning Sports Talk. And daily on the Locked On Kentucky podcast as well. Just search Locked On Kentucky on your favorite podcast player. Now thrilled to be joined by J.P. Shedrick of Jaguars.com. J.P., how are you doing today?
Curtis, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, we're great. We got to get an update. I'm sure you were probably even more happy on draft day since you got one of our favorites, Josh Allen, and that's where I wanted to start. What was the reaction when Allen fell and the Jags were able to pick him up?
Well, I don't know if it was quite a, you know, sprint to the podium type of moment, but it was pretty darn close to that, I think, for the Jags. They had him going early, third, fourth pick. And then when Cleveland Farrell went to the Raiders, that just kind of turned everything a little bit backwards. And then, of course, the Giants go with the quarterback there. And here you go. The Jags at 7. And Josh Allen was easily the best player that was on the board at that point, I think, just listening to everybody talk about it afterwards. So, you know, it wasn't – some people didn't perceive that position as a need for the Jags. I mean, Yannick Ngakoue is here. They got a very strong defensive line. Calais Campbell is here. Marcel Darius. They've got some players at that position. But, you know, if you look a little deeper into it in the years to come around here, will Yannick Ngakoue be here long term? You don't know. He's a pass rusher right now. This is the final year of his contract coming up in 2019. Calais Campbell's getting long in the tooth, still a very good player, but who knows how long he's going to be around. Can you afford Marcel Darius in the long term at some point? You got to figure that out. So there can be some changes at that position at this point. And they did spend a first-round pick last year on Taven Bryan on the defensive line. But they felt like because of everything that could happen in the next year or two and the fact that he's a very good player probably right now as well, those combined, hey, let's go get this guy. And they did. And it really solidifies that room. That's turned into a fantastic room for this Jaguars defense on the defensive line. So it was an easy pick, I think, once he was finally there at 7. Let's go get the guy.
So do you think in the first year, and obviously these things get worked out in camp and worked out in the practice field where in the NFL the best guy always plays, but will he be semi-situational starting out, or how do you kind of foresee them using him in his first season?
Yeah, that's a good question because he did so many things up there in Lexington, as you guys know. I mean, he was all over the field. He was in coverage. He was at linebacker. He was kind of rushing the passer. I think here primarily to start off with, he'll be a pass rusher, hand in the ground type of guy, and come in and, you know, third down situations. Now, if they get to camp and he's, you know, he can handle more than that, I think he can, but you got to prove it here. He could be, you know, move him over to the strong side defensive end and get him on first and second down. There was some talk of from fans and then people around, maybe he could play some strong side linebackers, stand up a little bit on the edge. I think they want to give him just a little at a time now, see if he can rush the passer and really do that and focus on one thing and then perfect that and then open the playbook a little bit for him. So right now, as it stands on May 16th, 17th, whatever date this is, before OTAs, he's a pass rusher, and that's fine. You know, the valuable asset here in the NFL is you can get a guy to get to the quarterback consistently. And, you know, they've got a guy, but it's better to have two of those type of guys. And we'll see what happens once camp starts in late July and into August.
Yeah. Now, when the Jags made this pick, did you guys realize that you were going to be also getting a media superstar in Wesley Allen, Josh's little boy? I mean, I saw him just take over all the interviews.
Yeah, that was something, man. To see him walk out on stage like that was fantastic to see. I mean, because sometimes the league gets a bad rap for stuff, right? Or bad things happen to players in the league, and this was a fantastic story. I mean, this is a great, you know, having the baby just talking to Josh Allen and hearing the story. I mean, it helped him focus. It helped him get back to school and focus on becoming an NFL player and to support his family. And to have the kid up there is fantastic. And he took over the press conference when he got here the next day, grabbing the microphone, sitting in his dad's lap. And that's going to be a fun story to follow for hopefully the next 10 to 15 years around here.
Yeah, without a doubt. J.P. Shadrick joining us of Jaguars.com. Follow him on Twitter at his name. You got one of those? I got mine, too. That's always a good thing to have.
It's easy that way. It's easy.
Yeah, exactly. I did want to real quick ask you about Bunchy Stallings. You know, he was a big-time guy here, a big-time get. The coaching staff loved him. Was named to a few All-American lists, went undrafted. And that surprised some people, but the Jags picked him up in free agency. What have been the thoughts about him so far?
So far, now a short time here. I mean, I asked Coach Stoops about him. I talked to Coach Stoops earlier this week. And they love, obviously, as you said, the coaching staff loved him and loved what he did at Kentucky and was a guy that came in there and put together a fantastic career there. The offensive line room here is interesting because you got a lot of guys coming off injury. Cam Robinson, the left tackle, had a knee injury last year. He should be ready to go. Andrew Norwell, the left guard, is one of the highest paid guards in football, but he was banged up a bit at the end of last season. Brandon Linder is the highest paid center in football, or at one point was. He was beat up last year. AJ Can didn't play great all the time last year, but he's a solid professional football guard. They just re-signed him. They drafted him 4 years ago, so he's at right guard. And then at right tackle, you just got Juwan Taylor in the draft, who's likely to start there at the start of the 2019 season. So, as of looking at the depth chart right now, I don't know if he'd be a starter, but there's a chance for him because they need some depth and a guy that can swing on the interior of the offensive line. They've got guys around here who've done that before, like Kyler Shatley, a former Clemson player who's been here for a number of years now. But we'll see. I mean, this is a big camp for him because they need some guys like that and maybe some fresh faces to do something like that. Is he a starter? No, I don't think so. If he was, he'd be drafted, but he's got a shot, And it's tough right now, though, right? Because they're wearing shorts. I mean, you get a lot of info on offensive line. As Doug Marone, our head coach, says, you're not going to get offensive line looks when they're wearing pajamas. So that's what they're doing right now. We'll find out a lot more come July and August when they're actually putting on the pads.
Well, we'll all probably be paying attention up here to see Josh Allen and see the Jags. Kentucky fans have become really acquainted with Jacksonville, the NCAA basketball tournament this year, bowl game a few years ago. I actually got locked in the stadium during that bowl game. We won't get into that at this moment. That was a weird situation.
It was also the bowl game. Remember that? At halftime, Coach Stoops kicked the referee's door or something. Remember that? It was against Virginia Tech.
I don't remember that one.
It was here. It was Kentucky, and something happened right before halftime, and he followed the referees up the tunnel. I was doing sidelines for national radio for that game.
Oh, wow.
And he went up the tunnel, and there was some altercation. Something at the end of the half didn't go Kentucky's way, obviously. But that's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to kick a door to get frustrations out. We've all been there. JP, thank you so much for your time, man.
Hey, you got it. Thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate it.
He is J.P. Shadrick. You can find his work on Jaguars.com. Coming up next, Tom Leach is going to do a segment. He's got a little horse talk, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Leach Report.
This is The Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Hello from Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore, and at these Triple Crown races in recent years, the weather's been a big story, but looks like it's going to be ideal here in Baltimore. They're saying around 80 degrees, maybe even a little humid, and just the very slightest chance of rain. So I think pretty likely that there will be a fast track for the Preakness tomorrow. Our Triple Crown coverage this spring here on the Leach Report is once again presented by Claiborne Farm, doing the usual unusually well for more than 100 years. Our Tito's Vodka Race of the Week is the Preakness, and it's a mile and 3/16, the 16th shorter than the Kentucky Derby, and for the first time since 1996, we don't have the Kentucky Derby winner in the field. It's the second time since Spend a Buck in 85. So it's almost always a certainty that the Derby winner is here. 14 of the last 20 Preakness winners have gone on to win the three-year-old championship. So even though the Derby winner is not here, this could still be a very significant race. It is considered a very wide-open race. 13 horses and the favorite, Improbable, trained by Bob Baffert, who's going for his eighth Preakness, is winless as a three-year-old. So this is an unusual situation where the favorite hasn't won as a three-year-old. And we'll see if he ends up going off as the favorite. I think War of Will is going to take a lot of money. And War of Will is actually the horse that I like in the Preakness. I thought he was fighting his rider a little bit down the backside, trapped down along the rail in the Derby, and then when he got bumped around as well, he didn't have a lot left for the stretch drive. So I think he's going to really benefit from that race and could run maybe his best race as a three-year-old in the Preakness on Saturday. I think it's a good shot that one, maybe two of the horses coming out of Keeneland races could hit the board. Signal Man, win-win-win out of the Bluegrass. Owendale, the winner of the Lexington, and the runner-up, Another Twist of Fate, all have shots at big prices, not only to hit the board, but maybe even to win this race. So definitely take a look at those horses coming out of the Keeneland races for long-shot prospects in the Preakness. That's the story from Baltimore. Curtis, back to you.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, so there you go. There's your horse racing update. Listen to Tom. Don't listen to me. I don't know that much about horses. I know they like hay and oats. As I mentioned, I'm Curtis Birch. You can follow me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. Got a couple tweets this morning from Chris, who is down in Jacksonville and is a big UK and Jaguars fan. And he was living on cloud nine during the draft since he gets to have Josh Allen on his NFL team. He talked about how he got to hear Coach Stoops on local Jacksonville radio, and then he got to hear JP on the Leach Report, and he was just super excited about that. So thanks for the tweet, Chris. LL Cool John said JP was right. Coach Stoops was angry about all the Georgia Tech chop blocks. He wanted to speak somebody at halftime. Yeah, I got a text from Steve Moss, too, from WKYT during that break, and that's exactly what happened. I remember that. I had kind of forgotten to a certain extent. There's been so much going on football-wise since then, but that was a very contentious game. Mark Stoops was not pleased at all with the way Georgia Tech blocked. He was really concerned about injury. I remember Dick Gabriel telling me some stories as well. Obviously, Dick does the sideline for the UK Sports Network. So he went into the locker room, kicked it. I didn't realize the kick the door part. That's got another level to it. That's really interesting. So if you have any other comments or questions, shoot them in at Twitter. If you have any questions for John Hale, who's coming up next, he got to talk. Chance to talk to Jaden McDaniel's brother at the NBA Draft Combine. He also got to talk to Keldon Johnson, and today he'll be talking to PJ Washington and Tyler Hero. We'll get a little preview of what he's going to ask those guys and find out what Keldon Johnson had to say. So that's coming up next. I'm Curtis Birch in for Tom today, who's up checking out those ponies, as he just said at the top of this segment. You're listening to The Leach Report. We'll be right back.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back in to the Leach Report. Curtis Birch in today. Find me on Twitter at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. And hear me on Locked On Kentucky. That's the podcast I do with Kyle Tucker every day. Now let's get to John Hale of the Courier-Journal. Who is up in Chicago for the NBA Draft Combine. Mr. Hale, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, Curtis?
Fantastic. A little tired. I was producing that baseball game. I don't know if you saw that UK score and how it went down, but it was something. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I saw the release this morning. It seemed quite the event.
It really was. How's Chicago?
It's good. Staying up at the airport, and the Combine is not in the fun part of town, so I haven't seen a lot of the fun part of town, but it's fun.
Well, that's a little disappointing, but Chicago is a cool spot, even if you're kind of on the outskirts. And plus, you're a Cubs fan, so being closer to Wrigley Field probably just feels good for your soul, right?
Yeah, it was funny though. Last night, of all the places, I could not watch the Cubs game here because it was blacked out on MLB TV, and the hotel does not have NBC Chicago, so could have watched it at home. Couldn't watch it here. It's ironic.
That is the definition of ironic, and you know it's not being misused like Alanis Morissette did in her song. All right, that's enough Alanis Morissette and Cubs talk, John. Let's talk about what you're up in Chicago for, the NBA Draft Combine. You got a chance to talk to Keldon Johnson yesterday. Let's start there. The thing that happened with him when he initially made the release and said that he's going to kind of evaluate, but he's going to leave the window open to come back. And then I guess it was, what, a week later, he says, I'm all the way out and I'm gone. The way I understand it, you guys were talking to him about that decision and why it was such kind of a short scenario. What did he have to say about that?
Yeah, he basically just said he decided he was at peace with leaving. And I think that's the point we all expected him to get to. I think if anything, it was a surprise that he initially said he might come back. I think part of it is that these guys are all just kind of feeling out the new NCAA rules that you can hire an agent, that you can go through the process, have representation, and then still leave the door coming to open. So there's a school of thought, I guess, that says, you know, why close the door at all? I mean, if you can hire an agent and you can go through this process, then you might as well just leave the door open coming back. I mean, we saw that with those ridiculous reports this week that maybe Zion would go back to Duke because he didn't like New Orleans. And obviously that was crazy and that wasn't ever going to happen. But theoretically, if you haven't signed a shoe deal or anything, that's within the realm of possibility now. For Kentucky guys, the wrinkle that's different is that autograph tour, because the second you start your autograph tour, you're done. Because you've made money off your likeness. You can't be an NCAA amateur anymore. I do think in my heart of hearts that played a role in Keldon and Tyler Hero both going ahead and biting the bullet and staying in the draft, because that's a limited window to really get in on that as a Kentucky guy. I asked him specifically, though, if that had anything to do with it, and he said no. He said he was just at peace with his decision. But for me, if I'm Keldon and I know I'm going to end up in the draft anyway, it makes sense to go ahead and start making some money on that tour and all those other things.
It's crazy that I'm in the same boat as you, John, when those reports about Zion, well, he hypothetically could come back at this point. I'm like, wait a minute, how does Zion not like have shirts printed where he's just selling them to everybody under the sun? Because he's the most marketable, you know, college basketball player in a long, long time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe since the one and done era has gone down, and I know that I get some blowback from UK fans, and I'm not saying he's the best player in college basketball since this era, but it's crazy that he hasn't done some kind of endorsement yet, because he has so much money that can be made. Obviously, he's going to get a big shoe contract, but those reports were silly. But what did Keldon kind of have to say about his feedback, where he's ranged? I look at all the mocks, and it looks like, well, a couple of them, it all looks like, I think I've seen multiple say he's going to go to Boston, might be at the 20th pick, might be at the 22nd pick. But what was the feedback that he got that made him be able to become at peace with his decision to stay in the draft?
Yeah, it's interesting. He didn't really even try to pretend that he had gotten a lot of feedback in those 5 days or 6 days or whatever it was between testing the waters and stating he was coming in. He basically just framed it as an idea that's what he was going to do. And you know, he might as well pull the trigger at that point. Since then, I'm sure he's gotten a little bit more involved. He said he's going to, you know, have a schedule here after the combine of workouts with teams. So I think that's still a part of his process he hasn't really gone through yet. I will say there were a bunch of Boston TV stations that were camped out with myself and Jerry Tipton and Alex Walker of WKYT, the three local guys that are up here. So clearly that market is interested in Keldon, and maybe they're just looking at mock drafts and seeing him going there a lot too, but obviously that's a possibility. It's interesting, his initial release said he wanted to be a lottery pick, and you don't really see that anywhere in the mock drafts that are out now. Maybe if he, you know, shines in workouts here, in testing at the combine and individual workouts, he can move his way back into there, which I'm sure is the goal. But it seems like, you know, 2021 would be maybe the bottom end of where he ends up at this point.
Yeah, he kind of seems like a guy the Celtics would like. He fits the mold that they have a bunch on their team. Did you ask him about the big fancy car he was driving around in L.A., or did you all let me down?
Yeah, I let you down there. I completely forgot about it. And the way these interviews are set up is there's like six or seven guys out there at a time, so you're going to have to bounce back if it happens that two or three of the people you're there for are going at the same time. And I've got some Louisville guys to follow around here, too. So I was actually just looking at my video this morning and thinking that was such a missed opportunity. So disappointing, Curtis.
It's okay. I tell you what. Well, I was in the other thing. If you mentioned the Boston media is hovering around him, you probably had some issues maybe getting a question in edgewise to a certain extent as well. But I tell you what, John, you can – go ahead.
No, it's funny because the big top prospects, like I tweeted a picture of John Morant's interview yesterday, you can't even get anywhere close to him because there are so many guys there. There are other guys like Jalen McDaniels. There were two of us talking to him yesterday, but Kelvin was kind of in the middle there, where there were quite a few people there, and it was definitely more than just Kentucky questions.
I tell you what, John, since you let me down, you can make up for it right now. We're going to hold you through this break, and we're going to talk about your comment, the comments you got from Jalen McDaniels, brother of Jaden McDaniels, who is being recruited by Kentucky right now. He is John Hale. You can follow him on Twitter at @JohnHale_CJ. That's J-O-N. He saves the H for his last name, Hale. Read his work on the Courier Journal. I'm Curtis Birch. In for the Leach Report, in for Tom today. You can follow me at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Leach Report.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Welcome back in. Curtis Birch in today. Still joined by John Hale of the Courier Journal, who's up in Chicago covering the NBA Draft Combine. Later today, he'll be talking to PJ Washington and Tyler Hero. So stay tuned for all those updates. But John, yesterday you got a chance to talk to Jalen McDaniels, who is Jaden McDaniels' brother, about Jaden's recruitment. He didn't give you a ton of information, but I guess he did kind of confirm that it is a two-horse race at this point.
Yeah, basically, he said it was definitely between two teams, and then later we clarified those two teams are Washington and Kentucky. He kind of laughed. It was funny. We were mentioning the different groups around various players. Where for Jalen, it was just me and Jerry Tipton standing there talking to him for like 10 minutes, and we were basically just asking him questions about his little brother. And so halfway through the interview, I finally said, "We both cover Kentucky. That's why we're asking you all these questions." He's like, "Oh, that makes more sense." But the first question we asked him was, why hasn't he picked yet? What's going on? And he's like, I have no idea. Like, I'm wondering just as much as anybody else what's holding it up. But I think it's coming really soon. So maybe that's at least on the horizon. Definitely between Kentucky and Washington. I thought it was interesting maybe getting a little more of his personality. And Jaden's a quiet guy who doesn't like talk recruiting. And obviously you know that from seeing him at some of these All-Star games and various things. And Jalen, the older brother, said that's kind of different from him. But I asked him essentially if he's so worried about the spotlight, he doesn't want to talk about this. Kentucky's a place where you go and you get pretty much analyzed every move if you're a player. Is that going to be an issue? And he said no. That his personality means that he doesn't let that stuff affect him very much. He just ignores most of it. So maybe that's not the strike against Kentucky that it might look like on paper.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. It's such different kinds of pressure. It's the stay home. And you have the weight of all the hometown expectations on you at Washington. And that team's going to have a lot of expectations. They have a UK transfer, obviously. Quade Green, who was a former McDonald's All-American, will be eligible after the Christmas break. They signed one of the top big men, Isaiah Stewart. So they're going to be expected to win out there. So there'll be pressure at both places. I do agree, though, that, not anonymity out at Washington, but it would be a situation where everything wouldn't be dissected by, multiple people who are watching the games, fans, media, and, the fan base and the people who report on it aren't so crazy that they go to the NBA Combine and, talk to your brother for 5 minutes about your recruitment. But
yeah, exactly.
Real quick, John, moving away from basketball for a second, how big of an impact, and hopefully this doesn't catch you off guard, but I'm sure you'll know, the fact that Xavier Peters picked Kentucky after going to Florida State for a year, how big of an impact and how big of a get is that for Mark Stoops?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, I think on one hand it speaks the relationships that Mark and Vince create with those Ohio guys in recruiting, even guys that they eventually lost, like Xavier Peters, and there have been several other ones throughout the years that they keep in touch with, you know, I'm sure all legally, and what the NCAA allows for them to talk with those guys behind the scenes. But it says how much those top prospects really care about the staff and how that Stoops and Merrill make them feel that when these things happen, that down the road, Kentucky seems to always be on their list if they decide they need to move closer to home. In terms of football specifically, I think that it's a big deal, especially if he were to get a waiver from the NCAA, and we don't know what the process is there, but I assume since he told 24/7 that the reason he was transferring is he needed to be closer to his, you know, his infant son in the Cincinnati area, that he would at least try to get a waiver to play immediately. If he were to get that, you feel much better about that outside linebacker position next year, because all spring Brad White said that the options at Jack to replace Josh Allen just weren't up to snuff from where they needed him to be. Yeah. And maybe guys like Jordan Wright and you know, Jared Casey and J.J. Weaver, when he gets here this summer, step up by the fall, and you feel better about that position. But if you got Xavier Peters, a, you know, former four-star recruit who's got a year of college football under his belt, joining that group, it's a spot you feel much better about than you did leaving spring.
John, let everybody know what you got coming up today from the Combine, what y'all got kind of planned out, and who you're going to be talking
to.
Yeah,
the first thing up this morning, I talked to Charles Matthews yesterday, obviously a familiar face to Kentucky fans, just about life after Kentucky and how he kind of took a different path to the NBA Combine in the draft this year. So that's going to come here probably by lunchtime. And then this afternoon, Tyler Hero and PJ Washington are both talking. I've got some other stuff about Louisville that come in that Kentucky fans probably don't care about, but be on the lookout for PJ and Tyler and what they have to say maybe about Nick Richards and EJ Montgomery still out there, you know, floating in the NBA draft water testing ether.
Okay, here is your assignment with PJ Washington. I'm going to talk about this in the next second for a second, but I noticed from the combine measurements, PJ Washington's wingspan has decreased by a quarter inch since last season. Can you ask him how that happened?
Yeah, I'll get on that. It seems like several guys that magically shrunk from last year to this year, especially from their college rosters, which I think we all should know at this point, maybe, to not take seriously.
The college rosters, obviously, that's them just, the college is trying to make guys feel better about themselves. But, you know, from one that was an official last year to now, where did that quarter inch of your wingspan go, PJ?
Maybe it was hand surgery. It shrunk his hands.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, hopefully you can find out. John, real quick, let everybody know where they can find your work and follow you on social.
Yeah, it's at John, J-O-N, Hale, H-A-L-E, underscore C-J on Twitter and courier-journal.com.
Thanks so much for your time, man.
Sounds good.
That is John Hale. Thank you. Thank him for his time. If you want to interact with the show, you can shoot me a tweet at Curtis Burch, B-U-R-C-H. Got a tweet from Phil a little bit earlier, said, glad to hear Curtis Burch on the Leach Report today. I always enjoy listening to Curtis on the shows he appears on. Hashtag not paid endorsement. Well, that is really nice. Also, a tweet from Clay. We had Tom had a segment earlier live breaking down the Preakness, and he said, hey, Curtis, you said Leach's voice, he said Tom's voice was normal. You said he had a horse report, easy for me to say, and he spelled horse, H-O-A-R-S. That's a pun, guys. I really like puns. That was a pretty good one. Thank you, Clay, for tweeting that in. Coming up next, a former Kentucky football coach is making the moves to the pros, and I have some theories on PJ Washington's wingspan. I'm Curtis Burch, in for Tom today. You are listening to The Leach Report.
It's The Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Coming up next, it's Kentucky Sports Radio with Matt Jones.
Final segment of The Leach Report. Curtis Burch in today. Find me on Twitter at Curtis Burch, B-U-R-C-H. Hear me on Big Blue Insider weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m., unless we're preempted by some other sporting events, on 6:30 WLAP. And on that station as well, 9 to noon on Sunday mornings with the appropriately named Sunday Morning Sports Talk. You can also check out my daily Kentucky podcast with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic. 30 minutes every day. It's called Locked On Kentucky. Find that on your favorite podcast player of choice. I'll tweet out the link to today's episode after we wrap up this show. A little bit of breaking news as we're about to get out of here. Grant Williams is officially staying in the NBA draft. He did a sit-down interview with Stadiums. Shams, the one and only who breaks all the NBA news, him and Woj are the two biggest things. So that's big for the SEC. Grant Williams is officially gone. So Tennessee will, you know, be losing a big piece. I think most people thought that would happen, but now it is 100% done. I want to also mention, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Hal Mumme is going to be on the offensive coordinator for an XFL team. I believe it was the one with Bob Stoops, and I don't know what the name of that that team is, but I'm sure it's interesting. So Hal Mumme's offense will be in effect for football. I guess that's next spring, because the XFL is a spring football league. So that's going to be appointment television. You're not going to want to miss that. A little air raid offense. And I know the way I understand it, the XFL isn't going to be as gimmicky as it had been in the previous rendition. But it should be interesting as well. Listen, this P.J. Washington thing, I don't know why. These measurements are hilarious. And John was mentioning it earlier, how comparatively to what guys are listed as in the college books and what the school lists them at on their websites, and then when they get in here and they measure, it is normally they're a little bit shorter. A lot was made of Tyler Hero having a negative wingspan, basically meaning his wingspan was shorter than how tall he is. There's a famous, I think it's Da Vinci, right? This is getting like historic on you guys, where the graphic with the human, you're supposed to be kind of like a circle, I think is how it's supposed to happen. I don't know, I'm not a scientist. But anyway, most times from an NBA prospect perspective, your wingspan is longer than how tall you are, and that's a good thing because you're able to play better defense, do more things. But his wingspan is slightly shorter than how tall he is. And that could be a little bit of a detriment, but not a real big deal. Defense isn't going to be his strong suit. But P.J. Washington lost a quarter inch off of his wingspan. And my theory is maybe he just cut his nails too much to the quick when he was going to the NBA Combine. You got to let those nails grow so you can expand that wingspan before you get to the NBA Combine. Or maybe he just stretched better last year before he started. I'm Curtis Birch. Thanks so much for listening, guys. As I mentioned, you can follow me on social at Curtis Birch, B-U-R-C-H. Thanks so much to Tom for his report from the Preakness, to JP Shadwick from Jaguars on his thoughts on Josh Allen, to John Hale from the Courier-Journal, and thanks so much to Shannon for producing. We will talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to The Leach Report. Make sure you check out the podcast page at TomLeachKY.com whenever you miss a show. And be sure to follow The Leach Report Facebook page. If you have a question for Tom, email it to LeachReport@gmail.com. See you next time, right here on...